We're sampling the world of audiobooks and ones that drew accolades this year here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Such a pleasure to have the leading authority on audiobooks, Robin Witten, the founder and editor of Audiophile magazine. For the past three decades, Robin has been at the forefront of this segment of publishing, witnessed the growth of audio content. The Audio Publishers Association's annual review of the industry reported another year of double-digit sales growth and a shift to listening more at home than in the car. Are you listening to books in different settings? What audiobook drew you in this year? What do you love about them? 800-642-1234. Robin Witten, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hello, Kate. How are you?
I'm doing well. My goodness, 30 years. You've really witnessed such a growth of audio content, especially in more recent years with really the surge in titles and distribution and the incredible production value, the sheer artistry of some of these audiobooks. What are your thoughts on the evolution of audiobooks?
Well, it's certainly a very exciting time to be in audiobooks now, as opposed to years ago when you had to explain what it was, what an audiobook was. Now it's on everyone's radar, and people love to talk about what they've been listening to. And there's so many choices that makes it easy to find and recommend, audiobooks for everyone.
Remember the fat tape, like the big folders and the tapes? You would go one by one through each tape?
Right. Yes, you can even run into people that don't understand what a cassette is. You have to explain. It's like very, very old technology at this point.
And now with the advent of streaming, of course, audiobooks and all of these platforms have just, rose up all around us. What do you make of the Audibles out there and the platforms that really push these audiobooks?
Well, it's very exciting to have choices in platforms. Mm-hmm. But the portability of it, you have your book with you at all times. I can think of times when I've been, gone somewhere for a quick errand and thought, oh, I have to wait. And now I don't have my book, but I do have my book with me.
Well, we're going to get to the books now. We're going to start with the big guns, Sandman Act 2, adaptation of Neil Gaiman's graphic novel series, dark fantasy series. This is Lord of Dreams consulting his sister after visiting Hell.
My sister, once you berated me for not calling on you when I had a problem. And now I have another problem, and I am coming to you for advice.
Shoot.
Shoot?
I mean, tell me what's wrong.
Shoot. Yes. I went to Hell, sister, to free the woman Nada.
I know, you went to Hell and you found Lucifer had turfed everyone out.
You know?
Of course I know. And he gave you Hell. The most desirable plot of psychic real estate in the whole order of created things, and it's now all yours.
Oh, Robin, how does this work? Taking a graphic novel series and then bringing it to audiobooks, what do you think?
I think it's a great experience, a great listening experience, and a bit counterintuitive to think about it, except when you think that the graphic novel that underlines the story that we hear is like a storyboard, the way it might be used in film. Mm. And that is then music and sound is layered on underneath the actual dialogue that may be going on.
Neil Gaiman put it this way to Sci-Fi Wire, said that it will make a movie in your head. And I said, like, aha, that could make a very good tagline for all the incredible audiobooks out there. That really makes a point here about audiobooks, that they do create a world in your head.
Right. And you can visualize and experience the entire story as it's, you know, being presented to you. And of course, in the case of the Sandman, it is such a rich experience of layers, of voices, of, you know, sound.
I wonder what you think of the Sandman keeping the same creative treatment throughout the acts, directed by Dirk Meggs and narrated by Neil Gaiman. I want to just give huge props to the legendary audio drama producer, Dirk Meggs. This is like BBC Radio's audio drama superstar. Is that really good of them to kind of keep that creative team from the Sandman to now Act Two?
Oh, absolutely. Why would you switch when you have such a great team? And Dirk Meggs is a master. And it, you know, it's a very complicated process to put a program like this together. And yet he, you know, orchestrates all the parts and, you know, the casting, the way the sound is mixed and the whole program is put together. He's a master.
Oh my goodness. And he called the beauty of working in pure audio is it's a hidden art. I love that line. We're talking with Robin Witten, founder and editor of Audiophile Magazine, as we take a tour through the year in audiobooks with you. Do you listen to them? When do you listen to audiobooks? Is it in the car or at home? What are your favorite genres? Do you love mystery or is it romance, horror? 800-642-1234. I want to move on now to the boys, Ron and Clint Howard, A Memoir of Hollywood and Family, and it got your Earphones Award. So let's hear a moment. Here's Ron Howard explaining why he considers what his life would have been like if not for his parents.
I have been fortunate to see my life turn out incredibly well, to not only realize, but surpass my dreams of making a living as a storyteller. Until recently, I was not particularly inclined to contemplate the why of this. But when my father died over Thanksgiving weekend in 2017, at the age of 89, his passing kicked off a round of introspection on my part.
I was wondering, would I relate to a book about kids growing up in Hollywood? It's not one of my picks outright. What did you see here, Robin?
Well, I think he is a great storyteller. you played the perfect clip there, you know, and I'm ready to, please don't turn it off. I want to hear what, you know, he tells a story that is, you know, in this segment, you know, he's talking directly to us about everyone's feelings about their families and their, you know, where they came from. And it's, you know, it's a really connective experience so that we all relate to that.
It got your Earphones Award, so certainly turning attention with you.
Absolutely. And the Earphones Award is, you know, our designation that is an exceptional listening experience. Mm-hmm. And we always say that, you know, if you are looking for something and you kind of don't know, look for our Earphones Awards, because that means that, you know, something extra special in the audiobook listening experience is there for you.
Yes. How do you define an extra special listening experience? What goes into that? What is the secret sauce, Robin?
I think everyone is different, but yeah. You know, I think it has to be, well, in the case of the boys, you have the author as also being the narrators, but in the case of having to cast an actor with the voice of the author, that is a critical piece, that casting has to be real magic in the way that an audiobook narrator connects fully with the author's intent. So that they give you they are the medium through which you hear the author's story, their voice, the information, whatever it is. And that piece of the narrator is critical. There are lots of technical things,
sure.
The emotional connection that a narrator can make with the listener. That's also key.
human voice, so powerful. Audiophile magazine founder Robin Witten with us, taking us through a tour of 2021 notable offerings. What audiobook was your favorite this year or in years past? Is there one you return to again and again? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Robin Witten here on the Ideas Network. We're appreciating the best from the world of audiobooks on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Audio Publishers Association does this annual survey of the market. Mysteries, thrillers, suspense, that category remains the largest, but the APA reported sharp increases in interest for romance, self-help, and business genres. What genre is your favorite in the audiobook format? Do you get lost in an audiobook and emerge hours later? 800-642-1234 to join in. Robin Witten is founder and editor of Audiophile Magazine with us for the hour. Let's bring in Carrie now in West Bend. Hi, Carrie. How about those audiobooks?
Good morning. I am an ardent listener of audiobooks, and I have to say how important it is when you have the right reader, because there are times when I just can't listen to the book because of the reader. But I'm really enjoying the Louise Penny books, and they had a reader change partway through the series because the original reader had passed away, and it took some getting used to his tone because he had a totally different voice for the people and in the book. But once you got used to it, it was fine. So that was all I wanted to say. It's how important a good reader is.
So you're into mysteries, I would imagine.
I do love the mysteries, but I'll listen to just about anything. Just depends on my mood. But the C.J. Box, Joe Pickett series is great too, with a great reader.
So, but really, really the narrator, how you absorb that audiobook, the narrator to you is really key.
It's very important, yes. Some books, I could love the subject matter, but I can't listen to that reader, whether it's the voice or the whatever. It's usually the voice. Sometimes it just gets to that certain point on your spine, and you can't listen to it.
Robin, do you have any thoughts there about the voice and about the Louise Penny books?
Well, I think the Louise Penny mysteries are really terrific, and the current narrator of the series, Robert Bathurst, is a particular favorite of mine, but I agree that it was hard when they had to make a switch with the narrator partway through the series. Because the way that Robert presents some of the characters that repeat in each of the titles is different, and so it's almost it's not exactly a switch but it is a role change in a way. But underneath, it's Louise Penny's characters. And whichever narrator connects with those characters, it can be effective.
Well, let's look at another suggestion, and it is the Eartha and Kitt. The daughter of actress-singer Eartha Kitt has a memoir, and what was really fascinating to me is Eartha Kitt's story is incredible. Rose out of poverty in South Carolina, rose to worldwide fame, and we would know her biggest hit was Santa Baby. Let's take a listen.
Life with Eartha was never dull. Far from it. From the moment I was born, I was always by my mother's side, or, more accurately, as an infant, in her arms. Always a hands-on parent, she was reluctant to ever leave me in the care of others while she performed throughout the world. That meant that even as a young child, I was exposed to glamorous nightclubs and the theater.
That narration by Karen Chilton, by the way, what do you think?
Oh, so beautiful. And, when you think that you are hearing the author's voice, which is the whole point, this is Kitt, mm-hmm. Eartha's daughter, who has written the memoir. But it feels so powerful. You feel that you know, she's really telling that story and connecting. I think it's the tone, a little bit of the tone of her husky voice, too.
We also heard from Susan in Twin Lakes, called in, couldn't stay with us. Susan doesn't use internet, wants to know how to access audiobooks offline. Do you have any suggestions there?
Well, I think Susan should probably check in with her public library, because I do think that you can still get media, hard media, probably CDs from the library for audiobooks.
And libraries have been a really good resource for audiobooks, you know, over the decades.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. And they were first in in being realizing that this was something that the patrons wanted, and making sure that they were available early on, before they were as popular as they are now.
We're talking with Robin Witten, founder and editor of Audiophile magazine. She's giving us a sampling of her top picks and audiobooks from the year, and hearing yours as well at 800-642-1234. Robin, moving on to Facing the Mountain by Daniel James Brown, true story about Japanese Americans at home and abroad during World War II. And this is really fascinating because you see this second generation Japanese Americans soldiers, and you know what they faced. Here is the narrator. This is Louis Azawa introducing one of the men.
Katsugo Katz Miho was one of those kids you just couldn't help but like. It didn't hurt that he was handsome, even before he put on a uniform. The girls at the University of Hawaii thought he looked pretty dreamy, almost like a movie star. A Japanese Cary Grant, they said. Especially when he slicked back his hair and tossed you that easy, carefree smile of his. But it wasn't just his looks that drew people to Katz Miho. It was the hand he always extended to you.
I want to keep listening, Robin. That's the point.
It is. I love the way the story is structured, because it follows these young men through the start of the war in Pearl Harbor, and then about their families, and then into their service in Europe, where they distinguished themselves in combat and were, you know, celebrated for all the service that they gave. And interestingly, the story originated from an oral history project. And that's where Dan Brown got interested in creating a history after being part of, you know, hearing the oral history project that it was started in Washington State.
I would imagine, too, that the insights in this book about how these men experienced the hate in society, that it could carry over to some of the anti-Asian hate that we've seen in our society today.
Absolutely. And, you know, really gives a perspective on the history. And, you know, I got mad listening to it, but, you know, was very glad to know that history. And to appreciate these young men.
400 Souls, collection of 90 essays and poems that capture the African-American experience from 1619 to 2019, edited by Ibram X. Kendi and Keisha and Blaine. Really just a fantastic history project here. Let's take a listen.
A muster roll from March 1619 shows that there were already 32 African slaves in Virginia, historian Thomas C. Holt explained. But no one knows how or when they arrived. No one knows the precise birth date of African America. Perhaps no one is supposed to know.
So that is narrator Ibram X. Kendi as well. What did you take away from 400 Souls?
Well, I loved the structure of this history because it's called a community history.
Mm-hmm.
And the editors actually sort of assigned a period of time to 90 writers and poets, and didn't really, you know, assign what the writer was to do, but just to write an essay or a poem about something key in that 5-year period of time. And it's so, I mean, it gives so many different perspectives, some expected, some very unexpected, because the topic is something very ordinary.
Robin Witten, founder of Audiophile magazine, her magazine reviews thousands of audiobook selections each year. You can join in. How do you process stories that you listen to in the audio format? Do you appreciate audiobooks more now, 2 years into the pandemic? What does it feel like to hear a great audiobook? What about that narrator? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up on the year's best audiobooks after a news update here on the Ideas Network. We're appreciating all that audiobooks have to offer and notable selections of the year here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Do you think audiobooks are a way to fit in more literature with your busy lifestyle? Did you sign up for a service or platform that gives you access to lots of books all at once? Do you frequent the library for audiobooks? What do you find? 800-642-1234. Robin Witten is our guide, founder, and editor of Audiophile magazine. Let's bring on another caller now. Lila joining us from Crawford County. Hi, Lila. What are you listening to?
Well, I am I'm 66, and I'm finding that reading, which I've always loved doing, makes my eyes tired, and it's harder for me to get through a book. So I've started picking up audiobooks. I had a recommendation of a book by Kim Stanley Peterson.
Robinson. Kim Stanley Robinson. Uh-huh.
Yes. And tried to start reading it, but was having trouble getting through it. So wonderfully, my local librarian found a copy of the book, The Ministry for the Future, on audio through a library in southeast Wisconsin. And I'm so delighted with Wisconsin's interlibrary loan program. It's really great to get access to any book in the state. And so I got that book on audio, and I really enjoyed listening to it.
What grabbed you about The Ministry for the Future? This is climate fiction. Cli-fi is the category, I think, now.
Yeah, well, it seemed so pertinent to our situation.
Ah.
And, you know, I'm quite concerned about the well-being of the planet, which sustains us, and I thought it was a really good story to bring awareness to that situation.
Lila, thank you for calling in. Robin, what do you think of Lila's pick?
Oh, I think that's an excellent choice. Kim Stanley Robinson writes very smart and engaging fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
I love the cli-fi.
Cli-fi, that is a category. That is a segment now.
Yeah. Very interesting. And she's always out there with ideas that, you know, you hope don't come true, but are certainly worth contemplating.
Certainly on our mind as well with climate change. Lila, thank you for calling in. We also heard from Lauren from Green Bay, called in, couldn't stay with us. Lauren is a librarian and said her library offers CD audiobooks, as we were talking about, but also offers what are called playaways. And a playaway is like a mini MP3 player that holds one audiobook. You can check out the playaway like you would check out a book and listen to the audiobook through headphones. And Lauren said she thinks a number of libraries in Wisconsin carry these playaways.
Yes, I think that's a good alternative, and very portable. And yet the whole audiobook is just in the one little player.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lauren, thank you for that. Let's move on to some fiction here. Harlem Shuffle, a look at the 1960s in New York City, and its author, Colson Whitehead, who is really this is a departure from other Whitehead books. And it is, you know, at the heart of the book is the character Ray Carney, who is operating this struggling furniture business while trying to escape his crime-filled past. Here is a bit of that narration.
The first time Carney came to the Row on business, the white clerks pretended not to see him, attending to hobbyists who came in after him. He cleared his throat, he gestured, and remained a black ghost, store after store, accumulating the standard humiliations, until he climbed the black iron steps to Aronowitz and Sons, and the proprietor asked, "Can I help you, sir?" Can I help you as in, can I help you? As opposed to, what are you doing here? Ray Carney, in his years, had a handle on the variations.
That is narrator Dion Graham. Robin, what are your insights here?
Well, I love the way Dion has captured Ray Carney, but the whole story has such a sense. I mean, it is about the 1960s, but the whole sense of the way the cadence of his speech is so perfect and very important to listening to this, and really makes it come alive.
This is the two-time Pulitzer-winning author who definitely is a departure from Underground Railroad and the Nickel Boys, Colson Whitehead. What do you think of Whitehead in this realm of you know, suspenseful crime thriller Harlem 1960s?
Well, he obviously has many things he can write about.
He has range.
That's it. A big range. I mean, when you think about the departure here, but, you know, how fantastic, because we don't know what's going to be next from him. And Dion Graham, the narrator, is a golden voice, an audiophile golden voice, which is like a lifetime achievement award from that audiophile gives to narrators who've really made exceptional contributions in their audiobook work.
Meaning that they've done a lot of audiobook work, that they've been in many different places in the realm?
Absolutely. So from children's titles to serious fiction to history, I mean, Dion Graham has done all of those things and been celebrated, you know, for the great variety of work that he's done.
Well, let's just pause here for a moment to explain the process your magazine goes through to choose titles each year. What is that like? Give us a little, you know, peek behind the curtain, if you will.
Well, as you said earlier, we review a lot of audiobooks, thousands of audiobooks each year, and we have to, you know, try to put a list together of about five titles in each of nine categories that we pick. And, you know, what do we want in this category? We want to have books that we can always say, I can recommend this to you. If you're interested in mystery, or if you're interested in a memoir, this is a great memoir. And it's a short list. So we start with the Audiophile Earphones Awards, and we look at those. And I also really like to be sure that we consider the uniqueness of audio, so that in the case of the Sandman that we were talking about, that mm-hmm. is just a spectacular listening experience that's unique, that is going to be different than if you were to look at the graphic novel. You know, something about the Harlem Shuffle. With my eyes, would I hear the cadence of those voices? I'm not sure. So there's something very special that we try to make sure each one.
So getting an experience that you wouldn't get from any other medium, if you will, really setting something apart.
I think that's really important. And we try to make sure that we represent that across all the best of the year.
Robin Witten, founder and editor of Audiophile magazine, as we are on a tour, some of the most memorable audiobooks of the year. Let's go to mystery now. Murder on the Lynx, mystery adapted from none other than Agatha Christie. And this recording is a classical radio drama reading complete with music and sound effects. A man is found dead on a golf course wearing his son's overcoat. There's a love letter in the pocket. Simon Helberg plays a detective's assistant. Here is Simon's character describing his boss, played by Alfred Molina.
Hercule Poirot was an extraordinary little man. Height, 5 feet 4 inches, an egg-shaped head carried a little to one side, stiff military mustache and piercing green eyes. For neatness of any kind, he had an absolute passion. To see an ornament set crooked, or a speck of dust, or a slight disarray in one's attire, was torture to the little man until he could ease his feelings by remedying the matter.
There. Now, would you be so kind as to pass me the post?
I got a little schooling in how you say. I thought it was Hercule Poirot, but you know, the narrator had their own way of saying Christie's most famous detective.
Yes, and of course that. They're actors, so sure. This is an interpretation and really a fun example because, I mean, this is not a new book, mm-hmm. But it is definitely a new interpretation of the story presented in this classic radio drama form. Alfred Molina is an amazing Poirot, not like the TV Poirots that we see. He has his he is very much an individual, but so charming and very fun to listen to.
And you give props to LA Theater Works that commissioned an audio theater adaptation.
Absolutely, a beautiful adaptation because, you know, again, we talk about the layers of sound or sound effects, and also this is adapted, so it's not word for word from the novel. And you know what you include and what you leave out, that's all takes a great deal of skill, and you know it's beautifully done. Kate McCall is the was the adapter.
When it is your job to listen to audiobooks day in and day out, how do you listen to them? How do you absorb it into your life?
Well, actually, over the weekend, I listened to something while I was sewing a project for a holiday gift. And I had to, every once in a while I really had to pay attention, I had to turn it off because I would be distracted by the story and then wouldn't be.
Careful with that sewing machine.
Absolutely. But I love to listen when I cook, when I'm taking a long walk, just to relax in the evening. I think this year, one of the things that we heard from people is a lot of families in particular, I think, used the evenings of listening to audiobooks as an alternative to screen time. Mm-hmm. Because we all, you know, with remote learning or having to be on meetings, Zoom meetings, really, you know, this audiobooks, you turn it all off and let the story take you away.
Audiophile Magazine's Robin Witten leading us through all there is to love about audiobooks. Are you curious about them but aren't sure where to start? What was your gateway audiobook that led you to many more listening experiences? What selections of audiobooks geared for kids are you fond of? Still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Robin Witten here on the Ideas Network. We're lost in audiobooks this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. This is a culmination of a year of listening curated by Audiophile magazine. We're taking this hour to recognize all the work that goes into them, the narrators and the directors, producers, the publishers who bring us these memorable audio experiences. Still time to talk about audiobooks, what you're listening to, 800-642-1234. Audiophile Magazine's Robin Witten is with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's go to John now in Brown Deer. Hi, John.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for accepting my call. I just have a comment. My mother, who had passed away 11 years ago, when she was aging and I was caring for her, we would listen to audiobooks together, and I would recommend the classic novels that she could read by such authors such as Charles Dickens, Mark Twain, Alexander Dumas, and so forth. And I, having read those books already, I would interpret them for her, and we would go through them together. She would listen to a chapter or two every day, and then we would discuss them over the telephone and have prolonged conversations. And it was a way for me to get more involved with my mother as I was taking care of her, and it taught me a great deal about caring for the elderly and about it so forth, and brought me closer to my mother when she was near her termination of her life. So I just appreciated the audiobooks and what the joy and the pleasure they brought to my mother. And I just thank all the people who go into producing those books.
Oh, John, thank you for that very special tribute, that special remembrance. Robin, this is something that John shared with his mother in her late years.
That's a wonderful story, John. Thank you. And you know, the power of sharing a story, whether it's with an elderly person or a young person, or even a contemporary, it's a great way, to experience it together and then to have a conversation, as John said, you know, talk about the chapter. It's a great way to start conversations with teens.
Speaking of teens, we're going to get into the YA genre here with The Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bouley. It's a story about a character coming into her own while really feeling caught between cultures, set in Michigan on Ojibwe tribal lands. And let's take a listen. Here is part of the narration by Isabella Starr LeBlanc.
I'm so pale, the other Nish kids call me Ghost. And I once overheard someone referred to me as that washed-out sister of Levi's. When Lily lived with her Zaganash dad and his wife, they kept her out of the sun so her reddish-brown skin wouldn't get any darker. We both learned early on that there is an acceptable Anishinaabe skin tone continuum.
How do you find that this narrator captures that youthful tone, but also what about this story?
Well, I think, Isabella Starr LeBlanc is just the perfect voice for this story. And she has the cultural connection to the author and to the story. And so, all of the different words and stories, they seem, when she goes into telling one of the origin stories or relating something that one of her elders said to her, I mean, totally believe that.
And the author's love and connection to her culture so deeply ingrained in this work, and this is targeting young adults. It's a YA novel, but would you think that adults could really consider listening to the story?
Oh, I loved this and was so captivated by it. And yes, the teens will relate to it in a different way than adults, but there's lots to learn here. And it's an exciting story and a great mystery. There's a lot to learn about the tribal duality of, the two cultures. Very interesting.
So two versions of The Very Hungry Caterpillar by the late, great Eric Carle made the list this year. And this is just so touching. The first one features crunching sound effects and music. So here is narrator Kevin R. Free.
In the light of the moon, a little egg lay on a leaf. One Sunday morning, the warm sun came up and popped. Out of the egg came a tiny and very hungry caterpillar.
mouthing the words as they go along. This is so sentimental for me. It was the very first audiobook that I listened to with my kids. What makes this so special?
Well, have you, Kate, did you ever listen to Eric Carle read it?
Yes. Yes. That's the one we have. Yes.
Yes. So it's so interesting because that both of those versions are in this audiobook program. So Kevin is charming and there's the wonderful sound effects. But then, you know, you can have this also historic reading of the author reading the story unembellished, but we all loved either one. It's such a great combination to have them both.
And it's really remarkable to me how this story has so much that is so universal, because it was first published in 1969.
Well, these good stories do last.
They do indeed. You know, earlier this year, Apple released spatial audio on their devices, and the company says spatial audio makes listening to music an immersive experience. Wondering what your thoughts on where audiobooks are headed with all this new technology.
Well, I think one of the things we're already seeing is the use of different kinds of programs, original programs, programs that are written to be recorded, maybe loosely based on it. I mean, there's obviously a text underneath it somewhere, but with a lot of original ideas of music and soundscapes, mm-hmm. As we saw with Sandman, anytime there's a graphic novel that's adapted, multiple casts, and, you know, a very rich experience with multiple layers of sound and story, as well as, you know, just one voice, which is always pretty special in itself.
Pretty powerful. We just got an email from Michael in Kakana and recommended LibriVox.com. I think that's how you pronounce it, LibriVox.
LibriVox.
Yes, it's this website that offers free audiobooks read by volunteers.
Right. It does. And there's a lot of range of things. Many things are, you know, everything's available there. Most of it is free. And there's a lot of range of style and performance. But it's also free from the libraries.
Free from the libraries as well, as we get back to the libraries once again. Yeah. Yes. Robin, this has been so much fun. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. It was really a great pleasure.
Robin Witten, founder and editor of Audiophile Magazine, which reviews and recommends audiobooks. She started this magazine 30 years ago. We have a link to Audiophile Magazine. You can find it at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.